Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Tuesday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good conversation with Chip Carey in the first hour, play-by-play man for the Atlanta Braves. Former Titans wide receiver Harry Douglas to start the third hour of the program. He will join us. We'll talk about the Titans, talk a little bit about what's been going on down in Atlanta, where he is. Falcons cleaning house. Head coach, GM, out. And the owner, not exactly backing up the longtime franchise quarterback in Matt Ryan and his future with the organization. So we'll get into all that coming up at noon with Harry Douglas. But right now we head up to Buffalo. NFL Nation reporter for ESPN. He covers the Bills for them. Marcel Louis Jacques is on the line with us. Marcel, how you doing?
I'm good, you know, preparing for a little TNF, a little Tuesday night football.
It's once-in-a-lifetime
experience.
What we all expected going into this season. So what is the wait? I mean, we know down here what it's been like. I mean, it's been anything but talking about this game. It's been about everything else but the actual game that's going to take place on the field, especially all last week. What about you up in that market? What has been the discussion piece up there?
Well, it's been whether or not it's safe to play, whether or not they're going to ever get to see the Bills play again, how weird it is to go a Sunday without Buffalo Bills football. But ultimately, it's a lot of, I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of dissent and a lot of anger toward the Titans organization, especially a sense of kind of negligence that, you know, they are fans from their perspective. They're paying for the Titans' mistakes, and they don't appreciate it. So I know the fans here are rooting for a victory a little more than usual. That's just the vibe getting from the base. But from an organizational standpoint, the Bills are just ready, are just happy to play. That's what they wanted to do all along. They've been kind of strung along just like the rest of us throughout this process. There is a little bit of a divide between the team and the league right now as far as how much they've been kept in the loop throughout this process. So, you know, I think everybody, though, the common ground is just thankfulness that tonight is actually happening.
You talked about the fan base. What about the players? What have they been saying? Because from down here, Marcel, it does feel like, and I brought this up on the show yesterday, that the Bills seem angry about all of this because of, you know, what the uncertainty of whether this game was going to happen, when it was going to happen, what the heck is going on. It felt like anger down here. Were the Bills players actually saying things publicly to you guys?
No. Publicly, the message has always been, we just want to play. We can control what we can control. We trust the league. You know, yada, 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 the typical stuff. But we actually haven't heard from them since Thursday. And that kind of trickles into the divide I'm talking about between the team and the league right now. The Bills have practiced, I believe it's three times since Thursday, and have not allowed for any media availability, any access, any interviews, any Zoom calls, et cetera, et cetera. So that mindset could have changed over the past few days since we've spoken with them. But the team sources that I've talked to recently have just said, you know, we're just kind of preparing for Tuesday. Like, we're just kind of putting our head down and moving forward and just accepting the fact that this might not be in our control.
What do you make of that? Because we've had a little bit of that going on here. I mean, yesterday, the GM, John Robinson, spoke for the first time with all of this, and they sent out a, you know, basically a heads up an hour and a half before. There was no you know, nothing out there about what they were going to do that day. There was a practice over the weekend that just happened, and nobody knew about it until after it was over. So what do you cover that team? What that sounds like that's not normal operating procedures for them. What do you make of them kind of shutting things down for days and not letting anybody talk?
I mean, I don't like it from my perspective as a writer.
Sure.
Because that's how I do my job. I understand their perspective. I don't necessarily agree with it. But you know, it's one of those who's going to enforce this right now? That with all the things that the league and the country we're dealing with right now, who is going to enforce the rule where players and coaches have to talk? So it's just like the Bills kind of throwing their hands up and saying, okay, we're going to move forward right now because it's not in our control. That's how I kind of feel right now, is just, you know, throw my hands up like, well, what am I going to do about it? I just got to take what I can get, roll with the punches here, and move forward. I'm sure we'll speak to them tonight and we'll catch up and it'll be fine moving forward. I've had no complaints about this organization ever since. Like, they are, I think it's one of the better run teams from a PR and communication standpoint that I've had to deal with. So that just goes to show, though, how frustrating this has been just for everybody involved. And like I said, that thankfulness that tonight's game is happening, it extends beyond the team. It extends beyond the fan base, but I think media are pretty thankful for it as well.
Interesting. So going into this season, when we previewed all the teams, especially the teams that were going to be on the Titans schedule this year, it seemed like it was very easy to point to the Bills were going to rely on a really, really stingy and really good defense, a tough defense. It's going to be hard to put points on the board against them. And then it's, yeah, Josh Allen, but it's always nice things, but, right, followed by the but. You know, can he? But for whatever reason, he's taken that next step, and now it's really about the storyline is the Bills' offense. It's not about the defense. The defense is actually on down. When you look at the rankings, their offense, I think, is top five in the league. So what has changed in your mind this Josh Allen this year? Why has he been able to kind of turn a corner and take a giant step forward in his NFL career?
I think that for the first time in his career, and this is at any level, you know, he didn't play with some star-studded group in high school or college. He's first time he's got a full array of weapons at his disposal where he realizes he doesn't have to do everything himself, that he can just let the game happen and let his receivers' routes develop. He can get them the ball and allow them to work. So adding Stephon Diggs and another year of chemistry with John Brown and Cole Beasley definitely helps. His mechanics in the offseason, or, you know, working on his mechanics in the offseason, has clearly had an impact as well. He's tightened his base up a little bit. He's worked on throwing with anticipation and throwing with control and touch. And that's really where you're seeing the improvement in his accuracy on crossing routes and deep routes. He's among the most accurate quarterbacks in the league, top six, I believe. So, you know, he's still throwing the same passes that he was his first two seasons, but he's doing so a lot more efficiently. And the biggest change, though, I think, is that he's not running the ball anymore. I think he's got somewhere around 6 to 8 attempts in his past three games. And I mean true rushing, you know, either designed runs or scrambling attempts, not just kneel downs. And that is a completely different Josh Allen than we've seen over the past two seasons, where only Lamar Jackson has carried the ball or ran the ball more often than him among quarterbacks. So we're seeing a Josh Allen that can beat teams with his arm and not just manage games, can outright win games when nothing else is going right for Buffalo. And that should be something that puts the rest of the league on notice, because it's something that the Bills haven't been able to do over the past 2 years.
Marcel, how do you think the Bills have tried to scout the Titans, not really knowing exactly who's going to be in? I guess they have a pretty good idea of some of the people that are going to be out, but I don't know when you have to have your last roster in there, but it's been a long time since the Titans have played. I would imagine this is a pretty unique set of circumstances to try to prepare your team.
It really is. I would guess a lot of late season film from 2019, since the Bills didn't play Ryan Tannehill last year. They played Marcus Mariota. And then a lot of just diving into the first 2 weeks of the season But it is tough, man, and nobody's in a good situation here. And that just goes to show you, you know, how impactful this pandemic and this virus is on the season. So, you know, while I'm of the camp that, you know, the Titans haven't been able to practice in an official capacity and prepare for one of the better offenses in the league and an undefeated team in the Bills also haven't been able to, you know, they haven't been able to keep up to date on what the Titans are doing, like what their current philosophy is, what their current plans are. So it's just, we might see a sloppy game tonight, man. I'm not going to lie to you, but it's football and everybody's going to be sitting there glued to the screen no matter what.
I'm with you, including the Bills Mafia, which has become famous. We've got a lot of friends in our circle here, media people that are Bills fans that have come from Buffalo. I just want to get you to try to illustrate for us, Marcel, because I've always been impressed with the following of that team, knowing how long it's been since they've had a lot of success. And they are loyal. They are so into that team every week, even during the down times. Put into words, if you can, what it's like to have this kind of optimism and this kind of team developing.
It is a culmination of the past 20-some-odd years of mediocrity and disappointment. This has got to be one of the most resilient fan bases in the NFL in that there has been no reason to cheer for this team for the past 20 years. They haven't been, you know, I don't want to say they've been among the league's worst because they haven't had the disastrous, you know, Cleveland Browns or Bengals or Lions type seasons. But habitually they're like a 5-10 or 5-11 to 6-10 type team. And that weighs on you after a while. That's hard to root for when there hasn't been any optimism. There haven't been those franchise cornerstones, those superstars really to root for, besides maybe a Marshawn Lynch or I mean that's kind of it, to be honest. And so this is kind of rarefied air since the Jim Kelly era, that they haven't had those exciting, nationally relevant type rosters to cheer for. So there is a lot of hope that this is finally it, that this is a dynasty in the making. But things are going to get tricky, and there does need to be a sense of realism here in that the Bills have a window right now in which a lot of their best players are on rookie or, you know, reasonable contracts. But you're going to have to pay your quarterback $35-plus million here pretty soon. You did just pay your franchise left tackle. You paid your franchise cornerback. You're going to have to pay that middle linebacker. You're going to have to shell out money to keep some of your overperforming vets in town. And all this is going to happen with a slashed salary cap in 2021. So things could change drastically. That window could tighten up a little bit in the next couple of years. But there is reason for optimism, but it should be a pretty, you know, they should still keep it realistic here.
Marcel Luis Jox is here with us from ESPN talking about the Bills. And you bring up that word hope. Is there still a sense of, well, New England's not dead until they're dead? Cam Newton's looked better than people thought that he might. So is there still some of got to take care of business with the Patriots as well?
Oh, yeah, that's priority number one. And anytime you talk to this team, it's never, we want to win a Super Bowl, we want to win the AFC. They're starting their goals from the ground up. They want to win the AFC East. They want to knock off the Patriots, which has bullied this division for the past 20 years. And that is looking tougher than it originally did. But they are two games up on the Pats. They have a chance to extend that lead tonight. Cam Newton does look good. People shouldn't be surprised at that, though. His talent was never a question. It was always his health. But the surprising part is the defense. The defense looks better than expected. Did a good job considering all the opt-outs. Did a good job against Patrick Mahomes. You'd like to think if Cam Newton played in that game that the Patriots would have beaten Kansas City. And that is something I don't think anybody would agree with if you said that in July. So there is a tough challenge in winning your division lying ahead, but I think based on what we've seen over the first 4 weeks, the Bills are built for it.
With this game tonight, how healthy is this team?
Well, that's the thing. Last year, they got really lucky in that it's like week 13, and you're only seeing maybe three names on the injury report. Right now, it's darn near 2 pages long. Matt Milano is already going to miss this game. That is a huge loss. And this team's defense, the middle of his defense, really suffers when he can't play because he's so he excels so much at covering tight ends and covering running backs in that short to intermediate passing game. Tre'Davious White is a huge question mark as well. He hasn't practiced all week with a back injury that he did not suffer, or he either didn't suffer it or he played through it against the Raiders in week 4. But he hasn't even been on the field. He's listed as questionable. John Brown also listed as questionable for today, and as is left guard Cody Ford. I mean, there are a bevy of guys who may or may not play tonight, and that's not what you want to hear given how long Buffalo has had to rest and prepare for this game. So they're hoping, you know, to get out of tonight unscathed, relatively unscathed, and also, of course, with a win.
Marcel, we appreciate the time. It should be a very interesting game tonight with so many unknowns, but we'll be watching and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and thank God for TNF tonight.
Absolutely. Marcel Luis Jacques from ESPN, he is their Bills NFL Nation reporter for them, does a great job. We'll have more on this game when we come back. Darren Donican Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Well, so I think it's going to come down to what can be proven, you know, because I can tell you that in some of the interviews, some wild stuff has kind of come up. And so, for example, look, the mask stuff, and I know John Robinson, you know, this was something he addressed. I mean, he didn't have a choice because when Roger Goodell had his call with the teams, I had a chance to talk to a couple of GMs, and they were like, man, Roger was talking about the Titans. Like, you know, yeah, the Raiders were part of it. There were other, you know, franchises where, you know, he took jabs at coaches, things like that. But, you know, there were, you know, photos. Like, they had, like, one guy called it sort of a slideshow. And he was like, you know, you could see it was like the Titans inside their facility. And, you know, they kind of felt like, when I talked to these general managers, they agreed that this felt like a very pointed call about the Titans. And, you know, then the subsequent, like, hey, if we have to change the schedule again, if we have to keep doing this, there's going to be, you know, an extremely severe punishment. The feeling there was that, you know, look, they're talking directly to the Titans right now. And the thing that I thought was interesting was these general managers were like, I mean, there was no fraternal love, you know, with John Robinson and the Titans. They were like, no, they should get hit. Like, if there's stuff that's found, these guys should get hammered. And it's like other teams have no sympathy right now. And so the league office is going to get support from other ownership groups that if some things are found that are really egregious, the Titans should get slammed.
That was Charles Robinson this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. John Robinson spoke yesterday to the media. Everybody was given about an hour's heads up of John Robinson doing that. And he spoke and he talked about the mask and how, you know, he's had to tell people, hey, mask up. He got very specific about whether it was below the nose or whether guys were wearing it below their chin. Before I give you any commentary on this, on my actual thoughts yesterday when hearing that, I want to hear what you guys thought before I get into kind of what was going through my head whenever I heard that. So, Willie, when you heard John Robinson go into detail and then you hear what Charles Robinson is saying, he's basically saying, I think he's saying that the league has felt like the Titans have been reckless in wearing their masks. They haven't been wearing their mask properly. They haven't been wearing their mask. I mean, I don't know what to make. He's acting like the league is sending a message through the league, but directing it toward Nashville. That's what it came off to me.
I think there have been two narratives from the start of this thing. And I think John Robinson has echoed, for the most part, Mike Vrabel, although John Robinson at least did stop short of saying, you know, we did nothing wrong. He did say, we've been a little lax with the mask, which I think humanizes it. I think everybody can probably say they could be better with the mask.
Are they lax the because they're? Is it the I'm sorry once you've been caught?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he seemed to say we've communicated, we've talked to him, they've talked to everybody, we've been transparent as they've come through here, but you can't help but hear things like Charles Robinson is saying is the story that the Titans are putting forth is quite a bit different than what you're hearing the reaction from the outside of what went on there.
How can you be following? They have been very – now, John Robinson is saying it. Mike Vrabel has certainly been saying they have no problems telling you they are following everything by the book. Well, you're not. We are doing proper protocols. Well, you're not if you're not wearing your mask and you're wearing your mask properly. Then you're not. So it's one or the other. Either you have been, which they've told you. They've told everybody who will listen. We have done everything by the book, 100 pages. We've even heard that reference. We're following all the protocols. But maybe we need – now it's come out a week and a half later. Maybe we have to work a little bit better on our mask wearing.
Right.
Well, then you're not
right,
doing the proper protocols.
That's where I think the photos and whatever they did uncover will tell part of the story of how lax have they been with the mask. I think – we can all say, right, even if you are pretty good, pretty darn good with the masks, you can still get it from somewhere, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's a fact.
That's not what we're talking about,
though. No, but that's what this is going to come down to is it run-of-the-mill guy here, not wearing a mask, or is it a pattern that was found when they looked at the tapes or whatever they were able to find where it was pretty clear that there was a very lax attitude across the board and not with just a person here and a person there.
Well, why else would you think he would bring that up? He made a point.
But that's why I go with the two narratives. The Titans narrative is no, I don't think it was that bad, and the reports around the league would suggest otherwise. I still go back to how did it spread? What's our best guess as to how it spread? Getting somebody coming in with the positive is certainly one thing, but I feel like almost every team would have to be lucky not to have one person the entire year come in and test positive.
Agree.
Would we agree? I mean, it's just it's going to hit somebody here or there. The key is to not let it run through your team. We saw that with baseball, right? And there were a couple teams where it did go through the team, and they were fortunate to get through the season and make up all the games. But that's what they have to try to avoid happening. And that's where you got to look at the protocols. And I think we've already seen a few adjustments to the protocols. Right now you're testing on game day, which was not part of it before.
Really understand why they weren't doing that from the beginning. But
you know, that should have been sort of understood. The whole attitude should be, hey, these are the protocols now. We might have to adjust. But I just hope it's not more of an attacking, unless the Titans completely disregarded a lot of stuff. I just have a hard time feeling like they completely disregarded
it. Why would there be all this outside noise? To me, if something isn't passing the sniff test. It's not passing the smell test. They're telling you their story is everything is fine. We've been doing everything correctly. And you're bringing up questions that don't pass the smell test. If you're doing everything correctly, then why hasn't it happened to other teams? But yet all this outside noise is saying that you weren't doing everything correctly. And, oh, by the way, the results are you weren't doing everything correctly because you had an outbreak that nobody else has.
But what is not doing everything correctly? Is it simply just the mask part, which I don't think it is. I think it's more along the lines of what Willie's brought up of somebody had it and didn't report it like they were supposed to or tested positive and still
came
in.
How could you not report it? You're tested every day. What do you mean not reported? Secrets.
No, this is what happens. You can be around somebody who had it that didn't know they had it. You come in there and you test negative for a couple of days. Or this could happen too. Maybe somebody is around somebody that had it and say, I wasn't around that person very long, and you come in.
Right.
And you don't tell anybody that.
So once again, this is only happening to them, but not the other 31 teams.
I just think it's going to happen to another team.
But no, we're talking about right now, though. We're not talking about what could happen. Right now, the only thing that has happened is it's happened to them. So you're telling me they've done everything correctly, and it's just bad luck, and this has only happened to them because they did everything correctly, and bad things happened. I think actually you are, because I don't really see where you're sensing there's any liability or any guilt whatsoever in their case.
When did I say that?
I don't think we know. I don't think we know the answer to that.
When have you said anything other than that?
I think we hit all the different possibilities last week, backwards and forwards, as this stuff came out. I would simply say that we're all human, right? We all don't want to believe that you could get it. You don't want to believe that you're the guy. And I think it takes a lot of guts to come out and say, hey, I need to report this. And then sometimes you report it and the protocols are loose enough to where, okay, let's go with it. It's only one person. Let's get on the plane. Right? I still think that's a very central question, is the Shane Bowen. He's the only guy right now that's tested positive. Do we feel good about getting on a plane and taking everybody to Minnesota? Yeah. Okay, let's go.
If the league says you can, then why wouldn't you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So they could have followed the protocols, and still that could have been. I'm just theorizing right now, but do we think that's a possibility?
Other teams have had positive tests and gotten on planes. So why hasn't there been an outbreak with them? Why is
The Patriots game is canceled this weekend.
I don't know what's happened one way or the other. I'm just saying, how can there be this much outside noise if they've been doing everything properly? How could there be this many people, Mike Florio, Charles Robinson, all this outside noise with all the other teams, Adam Schefter, that they're willing to talk off the record, and not have their name, but willing to talk to reporters saying, the Titans are doing this, the Titans are doing that, pointing fingers if there's nothing really to see here?
My take all along has been there's probably both are at fault on some level. The protocols, I think the stubbornness of the NFL to admit that there might be some issues with the protocols that maybe they didn't think through or are not ironclad. I think the Titans probably were lax in some areas. And I think, too, that it's just unrealistic to think that this wasn't going to happen to somebody. So I think all of those three things are at play.
That's not the subject matter, that this was going to happen. The subject matter is saying they were not helping. They were not doing the correct things. That is the fingers that are being pointed their way.
Oh, there's
no question. You weren't doing things correctly. So it's not about, hey, it's a virus. It was just bound to happen. We understand that. The question is, were you doing everything properly and it just happened? Because that can be the case, as we know. Or you weren't doing anything to help this from happening.
Right. That is the essential question. And the memo that came out last week clearly seems to point the finger at the Titans. That, hey, our protocols are sound. You guys didn't follow them. But since that memo came out, they've had to move the Patriots game. Right. So that's I think, has quieted things down, that it's only the Titans. Did Cam Newton do something wrong to get the virus? Did the Patriots do something wrong? All of that.
Well, I think Cam Newton and Gilmore went out to dinner, did they not? And
yes, they did.
Ironically,
on Friday,
those two were the ones that came up positive.
Right. And since then, they've had to shut the facility down, and they didn't play over the weekend.
Well, and I think it's pretty clear that the Titans aren't the only one, but the problem is there's evidence. There's video of masks not being worn or what have you. John Robinson said that yesterday, and he gave the example of having to walk down the hallway and tell a guy to pull the mask up over their nose or what have you. The big egregious flaw was that there was something that wasn't reported with a positive test with Shane Bowen. Did Shane Bowen have symptoms and come to work anyway? Was he around somebody and exposed to it and didn't say anything and came to work anyway? That, I believe, is where there was a misstep and a violation in the protocol. So if they are saying that, yeah, we followed every protocol, well, you haven't, if that's the case.
But that's what I'm saying. It can't be both. Like,
I think
something's
it
happened here. No.
I think
you
can be both.
You cannot know. There's no way you could have all this outside noise and finger pointing and all these people reporting this stuff, and you did everything letter of the law by the book in your home. It cannot be both.
Do you think all laws are perfect?
There's all this outside noise. People just don't make up stuff just to make up stuff because they're mad at the Titans. Like, we're going to pick on the Titans.
I'm saying that a lot of that can be true, but also there could be some flaws in the execution of the protocols. I still go back to allowing the team to fly to Minnesota. If that was a protocol that was followed and that's why it spread, then I think that's where your answer is maybe a little bit of both. Is that so crazy a theory? And it is only a theory because I don't know all of the facts, but it would seem like the league had to approve them flying to Minnesota unless the Titans concealed information from the league at that point. But the league has access to all the tests, don't they?
Why wasn't there an outbreak against the Vikings? They played a game against the Vikings, and there was no outbreak with the Minnesota Vikings. There was no positive test whatsoever.
Right.
It only happened to the Titans, but it doesn't happen to anybody else.
I think it's been pretty well determined at this point with the football that's been played is there has not been a lot of swapping of the virus during the game. Right? Otherwise, Kansas City might have had more positive tests than they've had. Wouldn't you think with college football, like the Monday or Tuesday after a weekend of college football, you would have, so-and-so, we played so-and-so, and now they've shut down, so we're shut down. We've had a lot. There hasn't been a lot of that, right? There's a lot of strong theory to suggest that during the game, it's not easy to transmit it from player to player, from team to team.
Then why cancel the Patriots game?
Because the contact is not as...
Then why cancel the Patriots game?
I don't know.
Play against the Broncos. Play against the Broncos then.
You're asking a lot of valid questions that Willie and we've been asking that for a week now, and the league has not given us those answers. So, I mean, I don't know why. I don't know why the league is, they're going to wait until this thing is done. I don't know why they haven't provided updates. I mean, John Robinson speaking yesterday was a breath of fresh air because it's like, okay, we're actually getting an update. Even though it's one side of the update, but it's a valid question. Why it's affected one team a different way than what's gone on. Why the Titans have had an outbreak and why the Patriots, had two players.
I think it's ridiculous that you would have to actually walk around the halls or walk around the place and tell people to pull up their mask. And then you're not being you are not sending the proper message. If you still have to tell grown men, adults, and what we've been going through the last 7 months, and to pull off a season and to make your millions of dollars still walking around to pull up a mask or wear something properly, then you're not enforcing it correctly. Because if you're having to still have those conversations, which John Robinson admitted yesterday that they're, and by the way, didn't Taylor Lewan say that about Dennis Kelly? That Dennis Kelly is constantly, he's like basically the mask police on the team?
He did.
Okay, why are you having to tell people that? You're not enforcing it because it's not on the top of their mind, right? If you are constantly having to do that, then why is it so loose? Why don't they feel the need to do that? Are you really ingraining that in their brains that this is what they have to do?
Yeah, and I mean, it's valid, but it's also, and John Robinson brought this up yesterday, they're now 4 weeks in. I think there's some complacency and some comfort. They've gotten too comfortable. And yes, they're grown men. They're professional athletes, however you want to say it. But now you have to figure out how do you keep them from getting comfortable? Because I think we would all admit that now that it's become the norm, that sometimes, I mean, we started the segment off by talking about it, that you get out of the car and you go, oh, I don't have my mask on. I was going to do a soccer game at Nissan Stadium, and I was halfway up to about to walk in, and I see a cop giving me a funny look, and I'm like, why is he looking at me funny? Oh, yeah, I don't have my mask on. You get comfortable. So then you turn around, you go put it on.
Yeah, but you're solo. I'm solo. They're around an organization. You
know
what I mean? So why should you be laxed in that thinking when you should have signs, you should have people barking that out and in your head, like almost like a nightmare. Right?
I agree.
So now, why do you have to have the constant reminder? You're talking about you or me getting out of a car by ourselves and doing that. It's like, oh, crap, smack your forehead. You get back in there, you get your mask, and you move on. They're around an organization, a group, a gathering. That should be in their brain. Like, right?
Oh, yes, you're right. But let me use another example. When we watched Hard Knocks, we had two different teams, and we get to see the camera shots of the meeting rooms and the practices on the field, all of that stuff. Can we say that both teams, if you just took a freeze frame, you could probably find plenty of camera shots where most of the people were in their mask, but not everybody, right? Either it was down below your nose, maybe it was around your neck. Maybe it wasn't on at all. Is that fair to say?
I'm saying, are
the Titans that much worse than every other team? Maybe they were to a degree, okay. But that's what we got to find out.
Here's how
the
I'll answer that. I agree with you 100%. Do I believe that it's a lot easier when the cameras are around to do the right thing, and when the cameras are off, are they necessarily doing that? I would agree with that. But here's the difference: how many outbreaks and how many positive tests have the Rams and the Chargers had this season?
Maybe they're just lucky.
Oh, so they're lucky. The difference is we're talking about a team that is the standard for this in the league because they've had, what, I've lost count, 24, 23, I don't know what the number is, and they haven't played in weeks. And the Rams and Chargers, while I agree with you on Hard Knocks, guess who hasn't had any positive tests? Guess who hasn't had their season altered yet? So you can think whatever you want, and I happen to agree with you. But guess what? They haven't had any. Nothing's been slowed down. They haven't had a shutdown, and they haven't had any positive tests.
You're right, and I would love to know how many times that there has been a situation where somebody could have come in contact, and they said, "Hey, I can't come in today because so and so may have come in contact, and I came in contact with them." That is the protocol that I think was broken with the Titans. Mass stuff, yes, absolutely. And John Robinson admitted that it's got to be better. I think the entire league will admit that it's got to be better. But what protocol is being broken is more egregious than the mask? And I think it would be what possibly happened with Shane Bowen. That's what I think.
The mask, the Shane Bowen situation, flying to Minnesota, and the NBA incident.
Yep.
Okay. These are all things that you're doing things. Now, the flying to Minnesota, it sounds like that was protocol. Look, I don't blame them. If the league was saying you can go on and go, there's nothing.
Yeah, that was on the league.
That's on the league. That's not on them to stand up and go, no, we disagree with protocol. We don't feel like this is a good idea, even though you're telling us it's okay. We're standing up and saying, no, league, we're not going to Minnesota. That's not going to happen. So that one, I scratch off. That's on the NFL. But something else has been going on. We've got a general manager now talking about mask. We've got an NBA incident, and we've had a huge outbreak. You can't tell me that everything has been going letter of the law and by the book. That doesn't pass the sniff test. It just doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. And you've got all this outside noise. Why would people feel the need to say all that stuff if truly it was just bad luck?
This is what we discussed last week, Darren, when you were gone. But I believe that the league would love to put it in one little tight box and say, we've done a wonderful job, except for one team. I think that's a nice narrative that the league would like to have you believe. But I think time is going to tell that it will not be just one team that goes through this on some level. That's just how I think. John Robinson had a great quote yesterday. He said, it doesn't take much for this virus to work its way into your world. It just takes a little opening, and it can be in there. And since they put that memo out, that narrative, it started even a couple days before the memo, when Adam Schefter, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, came out with this whole thing, this rant, kind of pointing the finger at Shane Bowen, pointing the finger at the Titans, the lax attitude towards the Mets. And all of that could be true. But also there's this nice little motivation from the league saying, boy, wouldn't it be nice if it's just one team that's not doing this? But since then, they've canceled another game. Not canceled, but they've moved another game. Not as high level of a violation, but they had to move it. Do we really think that's the last? And all these teams around there, whoever the unnamed source from Mike Florio, saying, boy, maybe they should suspend Robinson and Vrabel the rest of the year. Well, okay, but what happens if it comes into your locker room?
Right.
Mike Florio also talked about some of the things that are, Bill Belichick comes in and says, look at this locker room by the Kansas City stadium, at Arrowhead Stadium. It's tiny. We can't people 6 feet apart. What do we do about that?
Nothing. Visiting locker rooms are tiny.
Right.
They
so what do you do?
Are. It's not Arrowhead. It's everybody. They don't build
That's my point.
Visiting locker. They don't build arenas and beautiful stadiums to accommodate the visiting team. They don't
That's
give a crap
point,
about
though.
The visiting team.
Everything is fine today, right? They're going to play this game tonight, and the NFL is going to go to sleep tonight and say, whew, we're still good. We move these games around, we're all good. It's going to happen again. They're going to have to shuffle more. I really think that Week 18 is something, and now Pro Football Talk has an article. Playoffs in the bubble. Wow. Isn't
what
that
a
surprise? What a concept. Isn't that interesting? The NFL and NFL Players Association would be wise to put
that.
All teams in a bubble now. For now, the league is discussing only the possibility of a postseason bubble. Wow. Can you imagine?
Would have never thought about that till that article.
Let me answer your original question, because you asked what we thought about John Robinson's press conference yesterday and what stood out. Why wasn't Vrabel with him? Shouldn't the head coach and the GM be up there at the same time?
I don't know.
Haven't heard from the head coach in a while.
And when did they decide? When did John Robinson decide it was time to speak? Because there was no media schedule.
They put it out for about an hour before it happened.
Yeah,
hour
I think
and a half.
He thought it was just time to say some stuff, which I thought was good. I appreciated him coming up and talking.
Yeah, I did too. But Vrabel had been doing the talking. And then we haven't heard from him in a while. There's more staff that have tested positive. And so I'm sitting there going, okay, is Vrabel one of them? You know, is he now in quarantine? And then the GM speaks, which again, glad to hear from the GM. But in a situation like this, you would think that you'd get the head coach Vrabel and the GM Robinson. And you just got one.
And Darren, let me throw another question to you. Let's look at college football. Just yesterday after our show ends, Vanderbilt's game against Missouri has been moved. First time. So the SEC, who had been perfect for 3 weeks, 3-for-3, no canceled games, now that's gone. Do we think that will be the last one? Baylor comes out. They got a wave of tests. They got issues. Are we saying Vanderbilt and Baylor and everybody else, the 28 games that have been scratched or moved, all of those teams were negligent in how to handle this thing?
I'm not going to compare the NFL and college football. They're not apples to apples, and I'm not going down that rabbit hole. You're talking about 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds. I'm not going down that. I'm just not, because it's not a fair comparison. We're talking about the NFL. We're talking about professional athletes.
But you would have to admit there's some similarities. Some similarities.
No, I'm not. I'm not
just
gonna,
with a big group of people.
It's not the same comparison. It's just not.
It's not the same, but there are some similarities.
It's not apples to apples. Let me tell you right now about my sniff test. Now that this has all happened on the Titans watch, I guarantee you things are going to be a whole lot tighter over there than they've been. And my guess is it'll probably be a whole lot smoother the rest of the way than it's been the last 3 weeks.
Time will tell. And for that matter, the rest of the league.
You're probably right.
If you're tightening it up.
So then you weren't doing everything like you said you were. You weren't following all the steps correctly. If all this happened, and now that it's all happened and you've been piled on, you've had the league sniffing around, doing an investigation, you've had all these other teams talking stuff about you, my guess is it's going to be a tightly run ship over there when it comes to protocols and masks and everything else. And my guess is, my suspicion is, it's going to be a whole lot smoother the rest of the way. So don't tell me that everything was correctly done up until this point, and it was bad luck. And now all of a sudden, with all this awareness and all this has been going on, and it's just going to be a little bit smoother the rest of the way because nothing changed over there? I find that hard to believe. I find it hard to believe. Because my guess is there's a whole lot more awareness about everything going on in that building when they're together than there were prior to all this.
All right, let me give you an analogy, Darren. Let's just say you and I, we love to speed, right? We love to we have fun with each other, and we say, hey, you know, the other day, you know, I like to go 85 in a 70, or you know, pick a speed. I like to go 83 in the 70, and you say, I do too. You know, and I've never been stopped before, and I know the speed limit is 70. I get stopped, and I get a ticket. Is that theoretically, couldn't that influence you? You say, you know, I've done everything that Willie's done. It easily could have been me. So now I'm gonna drive a little slower.
Was your story before the speeding ticket that you always followed the law and you never sped, and that always went the speed limit?
That's a good point.
Probably.
Good comeback.
Was that your story?
Good comeback.
Because if that was your story, then okay, then we can talk about this.
Right, but here's my point. My point is, I would bet you that there are other teams. Let's just take as a given, the Titans have been lax in some areas. We don't know specifics. We have a sense of what some of the specifics might be, but let's just say in a general sense, they've been lax with the protocols. Do you think they're the only team in the NFL that has been lax with the protocols?
Do you know what I think?
You're not the only guy that speeds.
We don't cover
a lot of people
32
speed.
Other teams in the league. We cover the Tennessee Titans. We live in Nashville. That's the only market and the only team I care about when it comes to 4 hours, Monday
right.
through Friday, and every day on this show.
And that's what you get.
I don't
when you're
give
the fir-
a damn about what the Atlanta Falcons are doing.
Right. And when you're the first team to have an outbreak, congratulations, you win the award, you get all this. This is part of it when you're the first team. But I'm going to tell you that I think it's very possible that it could have been another team that had the first outbreak and they would be facing it. So the Titans, just by happenstance and probably by some of their own doing, are the ones that take the wrath of the whole thing.
I'm telling you, on the premise, everything you've thrown out about this and everything we've talked about the last 7 months, I agree with you.
Right.
I do. But one, we're talking about the team in this market, and two, we're talking about it when you bring up the speeding analogy. It's not like we're sitting on here going, hey, I don't ever speed.
Right.
I always go the speed limit, and then you get popped for 85 and a 70, and you're like, okay, now I'm going to fall. Now I don't get any more speeding tickets. Well, yeah. Okay, now after you've been popped and you paid a $175 speeding ticket and you have points taken off your record, yeah, okay, now you probably will change things. But that wasn't the story. Right? That's not the story. The story is they have been saying that, hey, we've been doing everything properly, and that, to me, doesn't pass the smell test. I agree with everything you're saying on the premise of do other teams, the masks, the hard knocks reference, all that stuff. Has everybody else in the league been doing everything perfectly? Hell no.
But the league wants you to believe that. But the league wants you to believe that.
But we're talking about a team that's had the outbreak and the team that's had 24 positive tests and a team that hasn't played a football game in 2 weeks. That's what we're talking about.
Right. I am not excusing the Titans at all. I think the Titans have to look themselves in the mirror and be transparent with where they screwed up, because that's going to help the entire league. And I think the same thing with the league. They need to be transparent and open and say, man, this is a tough one. We've got to work together. We've got to admit where we've made mistakes. Everybody does.
And maybe that's why the Titans haven't been penalized yet. Maybe the league is admitting without admitting, because they love to do.
Well, no, I think it's coming.
I'm saying
the Titans are not 100% innocent.
No,
I think we know that.
Something's going to happen, but I'm saying I don't think it's going to be – whatever happens, it may be – on the much lesser scale, and maybe that is the league going, this protocol probably didn't make any sense. They probably shouldn't have gone to Minnesota. That in place wasn't a very good way. We've tightened this up because of this. We've tightened this protocol up because of this, because we've seen they've already made changes, right? They have. So maybe that's the league going, we're not going to say that publicly, but by this lesser penalty, we're kind of admitting fault too. That could happen.
Yeah,
sure.
Tighten up. That's what you said. Tighten up. That's right. Yeah, but to play devil's advocate, I think, and the league is, they're going to bring some sort of punishment. I think we all have agreed that the Titans got caught. Whether other teams have violated protocols, the Titans got busted on it. But I will ask the question, when you talk about being lax and talk about getting comfortable, did the league get lax on their enforcement of these protocols?
No, I don't believe they got lax, Chase. I believe the league is what they've always been. We live up on a big hill in a big, big mansion, and we look down upon everybody else. We live in our NFL ivory tower. We're better, we're smarter, mm-hmm. we're richer than everybody else, and nothing affects our world. We live on this mountain, and we look down upon all of you, and our world is perfect up here. That's what I believe the NFL thought. And they actually were going to get through all this, and they're going to get through it, but with no hiccups, and they're just going to play their schedule out as planned, and I think that's their mentality.
And I think
it's always been their mentality.
It has. I think you're probably spot on that's what it is. Because if they didn't feel that way, they would have already scheduled a Week 18. That would have been built into the schedule. It was another thing Willie and I discussed of why wouldn't you just put two buys in for every team? Because then you buy yourself wiggle room. You don't have to shift all these things around. But they're hell-bent that they're going to have a 17-week season. They're not going to alter the playoffs. Everything's going to be as it always has been because of what you just said, because they're the NFL.
I think that's why
they had all summer.
Different.
They had all summer to adjust the schedule, but they thought, "No, we're the NFL.
We
won't need to.
It's not going
to
happen."
And
look,
so they have backed
we're smarter
themselves.
Than everybody else.
They backed themselves into the corner, and I still believe from the Players Association. Now we'll find out tonight. I'm sure it'll be fun to watch the game tonight. We'll see what happens. Maybe the Titans can pull it off, but I still don't feel good about not being able to prepare to do your job and then run out there and play a game. And I'm just really curious what the Players Association thought about it. Did they just say, let's keep our mouths shut so everybody gets paid? Are they really looking out for the physical well-being of all of the players, not just the ones that tested positive, but the ones who just physically haven't been able to stay fit at the level that they normally would and play together? Are they prepared to play this game?
Well, we're a little late for that conversation.
I know, but if the league should have thought about
serious,
this. The league
they would have already been talking.
The league,
right, and they've never been afraid to do that before.
But said a word.
But the league in April and May could have sat there and said, you know what, this could happen. So let's build in a couple of cushion weeks to have makeup games. Let's give ourselves a little more. Maybe we even say that, you know, we're going to save the AFC versus NFC games for a certain time. There's a lot of ways they could have given themselves more fluidity in the schedule than they did. But right now, they've already had to play some cards to shuffle stuff around. How many times can they do that? We're only in week five.
There's
a long way to go.
There's a report out of New York that the Jets, I know this is going to, I hope you guys are sitting down, they are seeking a trade for Le'Veon Bell. Imagine that. Mm. Good luck with that.
They play Madden or real life?
What do they think they're going to get for Le'Veon Bell?
They probably think they're going to get like a first-round pick.
Some more test kits for COVID. What do they think they're going to get for Le'Veon Bell?
Again, they probably think they're going to get a first-round pick. Everybody else is like, you're going to get, you know, a bag of balls or something.
Yeah.
That's
good luck with that, New York. Mm. All right, we'll come back. Former Titans wide receiver Harry Douglas to start the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.